Welcome to Zikhu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Ram Goldar, and today Maseches Baba Kama Daf Kuf Dod, the ninth parak of Gozel Eitzim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings the following discussion: Shaliach Shaso BeEinim, concerning a shaliach which the creditor appointed with Einim to collect his debt. Rav Chisda says Havi Shaliach, he is a legal shaliach, and the debtor is absolved of his debt after giving him the money, even if it never reaches his creditor. Rabba says he's not a legal shaliach, since the creditor never instructed the debtor to give him the money. Rav Chisda is challenged from our Mishnah, which taught that a gazlan who swore falsely cannot give payment to the victim's shaliach. Now, he must have been appointed with Edim, otherwise we could not refer to him as his shaliach, yet the gazlan cannot give him payment. Rav Chisda answers, B'schir ul'kito, the Mishnah is dealing with the victim's employee or companion, who usually acts as his shaliach, not a shaliach appointed with Edim to collect the debt. Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar ruled like Rav Chisda and offered another explanation. But Mamsi lo shaliach, the Mishnah is where the victim merely made a shaliach available to the gazlan without appointing him, and told the shaliach, I have money with Ploni which he's not sending. Offer him to bring it to me, for perhaps he's not found anyone with whom to send it. Point number two, Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel, Ein mishalchim malos b'diyakani. A shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner shaliach. Afilu edim chasum aleha, even if edim are signed on the symbol as authentic, because this symbol does not prove he was appointed as shaliach to retrieve it. Rav Yochanan said that if edim are signed on it, he is established as a shaliach, and one may send the money with him. The Gemara asks how a depositor can retrieve his deposit through a shaliach, according to Shmuel, and answers with a story. Rabbi Abba once sent Rav Safra to collect his debt, and Rav said he would give it to him if he had a receipt from Rabbi Abba stating, he's kabalti, I have received payment through Rav Safra's collection. Later, Rav said he would not even pay based on this receipt, since Rabbi Abba, an elderly man, may die before the payment, voiding the shlichus, since his assets belong to his heirs. Instead, Rav told him to acquire the money agav ara, alongside land, meaning the automatic transfer of movable items alongside a transaction of property. Rav Safra could then collect the debt as an owner. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that if the gazlan repaid the stolen principal, but not the additional fifth, he does not need to bring it to the victim. The Gemara infers that it is still owed, alma chomish mamonuhu. We see that the additional fifth payment is a monetary obligation to the victim, and not just for atonement, and if the gazlan would die, his heirs would still owe it. A second proof is brought from the Mishnah, which taught that if the gazlan falsely swears to deny owing the chomish itself, he must pay an additional fifth of the chomish he denied. This proves the denial is a monetary one. A braisa also explicitly teaches that his heirs must pay the chomish. Now, this is contradicted by a braisa which states that a son does not pay a chomish for his father's robbery, although he pays the principal. Rav Nachman answered, as the Gemara later explains, that the case is where the gazlan did not confess and never became liable for a chomish. His son must pay the principal because he himself confessed. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara brings the following discussion. Shaliach she'aso be'edim, concerning a shaliach, which the creditor appointed with edim to collect his debt. Rav Chisda says, Havi shaliach, he's a legal shaliach, and the debtor is absolved of his debt after giving him the money, even if it never reaches his creditor. Rabba says he's not a legal shaliach, since the creditor never instructed the debtor to give him the money. Rav Chisda is challenged from our Mishnah, which taught that a gazlan who swore falsely cannot give payment to the victim's shaliach. Now, he must have been appointed with Edim, otherwise we could not refer to him as his shaliach, yet the gazlan cannot give him payment. Rav Chisda answers, B'schir ul'kito, the Mishnah is dealing with the victim's employee or companion, who usually acts as his shaliach, not a shaliach appointed with Edim to collect the debt. Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar ruled like Rav Chisda and offered another explanation. But Mamsi lo shaliach, the Mishnah is where the victim merely made a shaliach available to the gazlan without appointing him, and told the shaliach, I have money with Ploni which he's not sending. Offer him to bring it to me, for perhaps he's not found anyone with whom to send it. Point number two, Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel, Ein mishalchim malos b'diyakani. A shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner shaliach. Afilu edim chasum aleha, even if edim are signed on the symbol as authentic, because this symbol does not prove he was appointed as shaliach to retrieve it. Rav Yochanan said that if edim are signed on it, he is established as a shaliach, and one may send the money with him. The Gemara asks how a depositor can retrieve his deposit through a shaliach, according to Shmuel, and answers with a story. Rabbi Abba once sent Rav Safra to collect his debt, and Rav said he would give it to him if he had a receipt from Rabbi Abba stating, he's kabalti, I have received payment through Rav Safra's collection. Later, Rav said he would not even pay based on this receipt, since Rabbi Abba, an elderly man, may die before the payment, voiding the shlichus, since his assets belong to his heirs. Instead, Rav told him to acquire the money agav ara, alongside land, meaning the automatic transfer of movable items alongside a transaction of property. Rav Safra could then collect the debt as an owner. And pointing with you, the Mishnah taught that if the Gazlan repaid the stolen principal, but not the additional fifth, he does not need to bring it to the victim. The Gemara infers that it is still owed. Alma chomish mamonu. We see that the additional fifth payment is a monetary obligation to the victim, and not just for atonement, and if the Gazlan would die, his heirs would still owe it. A second proof is brought from the Mishnah, which taught that if the Gazlan falsely swears to deny owing the chomish itself, he must pay an additional fifth of the chomish he denied. This proves the denial is a monetary one. A braisa also explicitly teaches that his heirs must pay the chomish. Now, this is contradicted by a braisa which states that a son does not pay a chomish for his father's robbery, although he pays the principal. Rav Nachman answered, as the Gemara later explains, that the case is where the Gazlan did not confess and never became liable for a chomish. His son must pay the principal because he himself confessed. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Dalet, and her standard siman is a code. A code. So here goes. The code breaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor Shaliach, who was A-W-I-N, appointed with Aidim, but that a Shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner Shaliach, was overjoyed when he figured out the code Chomish equals Mamon means that if a Gazlan died after only paying the victim the principal, his heirs must pay the Chomish. Once again, slow motion. The code breaker code. That must be more in Duff. Kuf Dalet. The codebreaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor Shaliach, who was A-W-I-N, appointed with Aidim, which reminds us the Gemara discusses a Shaliach, which the creditor appointed with Aidim to collect his debt. Rav Chisda says, Havi Shaliach, he's a legal Shaliach, and the debtor is absolved of his debt after giving him the money, even if it never reaches his creditor. Rav says he's not a legal Shaliach, since the creditor never instructed the debtor to give him the money. So the codebreaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor Shaliach, who was A-W-I-N, appointed with Aidim, but that a Shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner Shaliach, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel, Ein Mishalchim Malz B'diokani. A Shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner Shaliach. Bafil Eidim Chasum Maleh, even if Eidim are signed on the symbol as authentic, because this symbol does not prove he was appointed a Shaliach to retrieve it. Rav Yochanan said that if Eidim are signed on it, he is established as a Shaliach and one may send the money with him. So the codebreaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor Shaliach, who was A-W-I-N, appointed with Eidim, but that a Shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner Shaliach, was overjoyed when he figured out the code Chomish equals Mamon means that if a Gazlan died after only paying the victim, the principal, his heirs must pay the chomish, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if a Gazlan repaid the stolen principal, but not the additional fifth, he does not need to bring it to the victim. The Gemara infers that it is still owed. Almo chomish mamonuhu. We see that the additional fifth payment is a monetary obligation to the victim, and not just for atonement. And if the Gazlan would die, his heirs would still owe it. So once again, the codebreaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor Shaliach, who was A-W-I-N, appointed with Aidim, but that a Shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner Shaliach, was overjoyed when he figured out the code Chomish equals Mamon means that if the Gazlan died after only paying the victim the principal, his heirs must pay the Chomish. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Hazara. Daf Kuf. So the Siman Daf Kuf is a Kof, a monkey. So here goes. The circus monkey. Monkey? That must be in Daf Kuf. Kof. The circus monkey standing under a lifnim ashur is a din sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, which reminds us, the previous stuff relates an incident in which a woman showed a dinar to Rabbi Chiya, who told her the coin was good, and she accepted it based on his judgment. She returned the next day and said that she was told it was a bad coin and could not use it as currency. Rabbi Chiya told Rav to exchange it for her and to write into his ledger, din esek bish, this is a bad occupation, meaning taking losses needlessly for advice he should not give. The Gemara wonders why Rabbi Chiya was liable, since he was a great enough expert to be exempt. And it answers, lifnim ashur hadin hu da'avad. He went beyond the letter of the law in compensating her, for he was indeed exempt. So the circus monkey standing under a lifnim ashur hadin sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, saw another monkey wearing a din garmi cap swinging towards him, holding paper that said, you are chayav to pay, which reminds us, Reish Lakish showed the edina to Rabbi Lazar, who told him it was a good coin. Reish Lakish told him he was relying on him and explained that if it were found to be bad, Lazar would be responsible to exchange it. This is because Reish Lakish rules like Rav Meir, Doin Din Garmi, who judges the law of Garmi obligating payment for certain cases of indirectly causing damage. So the circus monkey standing under a lifnim ashur as a din sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, saw another monkey wearing a din garmi cap swinging towards him, holding a paper that said, "You are chayev to pay," and flying over a third monkey dyeing wool black that was meant to be dyed red. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one gave a dyer wool to dye red for him, and he dyed it black, or the reverse, Rabbi Meir says, no singlo d'mei tzamro, he pays him the wool's original value, because Rabbi Meir considers his deviation from his instructions as stealing the wool, so he acquires it with a shinui of coloring. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says he pays either the dyer's expenses or the wool's improvement, whichever is less. Daf Kuf Aleph. So the simon Daf Kuf Aleph is a bird collar that goes ka ka. So here goes. The bird collar, that must be more in Daf Kuf Aleph, a bird collar who goes ka ka. The bird collar who blew his whistle as two birds held up his stolen sweater to see if the stolen dye was still present in it, which reminds us. The Gemara asks a question, Yesh Shevach Samanim Ahad Semer, is the improvement of dye on the wool considered something material or not? Rashi explains the question as if chazusa milsi, appearance, is a significant matter, making the dye still considered present. Since stolen dye must be returned, the case must be where one stole wool and dye belonging to the same person, and he dyed the wool with it and then returned the dyed wool. If yesh shevach samanim al gabi tzemer, the dye is still considered present, he has returned everything he stole, but if not, he must pay for the stolen dye. So the bird caller who blew his whistle as two birds held up his stolen sweater to see if the stolen dye was still present in it had a jacket that had been dyed with the peels of orla fruit set afire because chazusa milsihi, which reminds us it was stated in the Mishnah, beged shetzvo beklipe orla yedalek, a garment which was dyed with the peels of orla fruit should be set afire. This proves chazusa milsi, appearance is considered a significant matter, and the oral is still considered present. So the bird call who blew his whistle as two birds held up a stolen sweater to see if the stolen dye was still present in it, had a jacket that had been dyed with the peels of orla fruit set afire, because chazusa milsihi, using wood which has no kedusha shviz, since its benefit is after its consumption, which reminds us, the Gemara deals with the question if wood is subject to kedusha shviz, and answers that the pasuk says, la'acha, to eat, teaching, b'misha naso u'b'iro shavin. Kedusha shviz applies to produce whose benefit and consumption coincide, like food. This excludes wood, whose benefit, the baking, is after its consumption, meaning after the wood is reduced to coals. Daf Kuf Beis. So the simon Daf Kuf Beis is a cave. So here goes. The man who lived in a cave. Cave? That must be on Daf Kuf Beis. The man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchokas Anayim of Shemitah produce may be used for soaking flax or laundering if it was picked for that purpose. So the man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, who had been disappointed when the shlich he sent to purchase wheat returned with barley, which reminds us, a brisa teaches that if someone gave a shlich money to buy wheat to sell at a higher price and split the profits, and instead the shlich bought barley or the reverse, in b'chasu b'chasu lo, if they depreciated, they depreciated for the shlich, v'mosiro hosiro lo, and if they appreciate it, they appreciate it for him, meaning the shlich takes all losses and gains and repays the investor's capital. Another brisa says they divide the profits, but the shlich takes all losses. Rabbi Yochanan explains that the first brisa is Rabbi Meir, who taught on Daf Kuf Amud Beis regarding dyeing wool the wrong color, that one who deviates from instructions is deemed a gazlan. Therefore, this shliach acquires the produce with the stolen money. So the man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, who had been disappointed when the shliach he sent to purchase wheat returned with barley, was happy to learn that his other shliach carried out his shlichas as instructed and purchased wheat, as he was considered like the investor himself, which reminds us, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they mocked Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation that the second brisa is also discussing a significant deviation from his instructions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how does the investor acquire a share of the grain when the shliach disobeyed him, who informed the owner of the wheat that he should transfer wheat to the owner of the money instead of the shliach? Rav Shmuel Bar Sosrati challenges reasoning, arguing that even when a shliach purchases wheat as he was told, no one informed the seller to transfer wheat to the investor. Rav Yavo answered that when he purchased wheat as he was told, he performed his shlichus, and it's considered like the baal bais, the investor himself, so he may perform a transaction on the investor's behalf. Daf Kuf Gimel, so the simmer Daf Kuf Gimel is Kugel, and we use Yerushalmi Kugel. So here goes. The land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi Kugel, that must be on Daf Kuf Gimel. The land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi kugel while refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer who falsely claimed that he bought the field on the Reish Gulus's behalf, which reminds us, if a buyer declared untruthfully that he bought a field on the Reish Gulus's behalf to discourage potential protesters, we do not force the seller to sell it a second time, meaning he doesn't have to write him another document identifying him as a true owner. Although the buyer can argue that the seller understood that he only claimed to purchase for the Reish Gulus as a security measure and realized the buyer wanted a second shtar, the seller can respond that he thought the buyer arranged with the Reish Gulus to write a shtar for him. So the land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi kugel while refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer who falsely claimed that he bought the field on the Reish Gulus's behalf, packed up some kugel for the gazlan on his way to Madai to bring payment to the victim after he had sworn falsely and only later confessed, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hagozel es chavero shava pruta, one who robs from his fellow the value of a pruta, v'nishbolo, and then he swears falsely to him, denying the robbery, but later confesses and is chayv to pay the principal and an additional fifth and bring a karban hashem, yolichenu akarav afil l'madai, he must bring the payment after him even to Madai. He cannot give it to the victim's son nor to his own shaliach, but he may give it to a shaliach basin, which is a takana enacted to encourage his repentance. So the land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi kugel while refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer who falsely claimed that he bought a field on the Reish Gulus's behalf, packed up some kugel for the gazlan on his way to Madai to bring payment to the victim after he had sworn falsely and only later confessed, and served kugel to the five people waiting to be paid by the thief who stole from one of them but did not remember who, which reminds us, it was taught in the Mishnah, Gazla Echad Mechamisha, one who robbed one of five people, Ve'eniyad de Ezmehan, but he doesn't know which one of them it was, and each of them claims it was he. Rabbi Tarfon says, Meniach Gazela Benehu Mistalik, he places the robbed item between them and removes himself. Rabbi Kiva says, this is not the derech to remove him from Avera. Adchi Yeshalom Gazela Kol Echad Ve'echad, he has not fulfilled his obligation until he pays the robbed item's value to every one of them. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which of the one that Chomish is considered mamun, that the additional fifth payment is a monetary obligation to the victim, and if the gazlan dies, the heirs must pay it? That's on daf. Kuftal. Good. Number 2. Which of the one that one who robs someone of something worth a shava pruta, who swears and later confesses, must return the item, afilu amadai? That's on daf. Kuf Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which of the one an expert shochet, who improperly shechted, rendering the animal on the vela, is chayv to pay the owner? That's on daf. Tzadi test. Good. Number 4. Which thing when a garment which was done with klipe orla should be set afire, proving chazusa milzahi, appearance is considered a significant matter? That's on daf. Kufalov. Good. Number 5. Which daf of a case of one sending a shliach to buy wheat to sell, and the shliach fulfills his shlichus as he acts on the investor's behalf? That's on daf. Kufbeis. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we machlok is whether a shaliach for a creditor that was appointed with Adim is considered a legal shaliach? That's on daf. Kufdal. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we machlok is what is done if a gazlan robs someone from a group of five and he can't remember which one he robbed? That's on daf. Kuf Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we want a shomer should not send money back to the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner shaliach? That's on daf. Kufdal. Good. Number 9. Which stuff did we learn? The Rabbi Chia compensated a woman for wrongly evaluating her coin, even though he was an expert, because he went lifni mashur sadin. That's on daf. Kuf. Good. And number 10. Which stuff is the case of one who falsely claimed that he bought a field on the Reish Gulus's behalf, and we have the question whether he can ask the seller to write a second shtar? That's on daf. Kuf Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhaber from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.